Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode. Well, hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Becoming an Elite Financial Advisor. Stan is not joining us because we are going to do an advisor story today. And I get to welcome Tyler to our show. Tyler, thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I love the angle that we're going to talk about today, which is how do you really help people? Because I think there's a lot of different ways that people try to help people. There's a lot of different ways that advisors try to help people. And because I think at the core, financial advisors, it's built into the name. They're trying to advise, they're trying to give advice, they're trying to give people a direction to go. We all know that ultimately it's really up to the customer, the client, if they want to do something or not. But there's things that you do as an advisor, those who are listening to my voice, that help people and others that just don't. There's other things you do that you think are helping and they're not. And we're going to talk about that today because ultimately when you can help people reach their goals and make better decisions, they win and you win because they keep coming back to you and they tell the people about you. So Tyler, let's go back a little bit. How long have you been in the business and where do you live?
I'm in Florence, South Carolina, and I've been in the business for a little over 7 years. I've been an advisor now for a little over 6 months.
Okay. All right. So tell me what you were doing before you became an advisor.
I was working on a team. We have three other advisors, and I was primarily doing planning and most of the investment research and trading and things for the team.
Okay. So obviously you developed enough or decided, hey, it's been good to know that stuff. I want to get into the game myself. So at what point in that development were you, did you hear about, did you think about, hey, I want to do it differently than the way most of the industry does, which is I want to get paid for my time and ideas. When did that happen?
Really when I started listening to the podcast. So when I knew the change was coming up and I knew I was going to be making the step into the financial advisor role, I was just reading and listening to podcasts and taking in as much as I could to try to be as successful as possible. And I came across you guys' podcast.
Okay.
And had never even thought about this before because our team didn't do it at all. So
Interesting. So wasn't really on your radar, but you thought, hey, if I can get paid for my time and ideas, sounds good to me. What did you do about it?
So after listening to the podcast, I think I went back and listened to every single episode. And then I wanted more. So I had a quick chat with you, ended up going to the event in Nashville, which just opened my eyes to so much.
Yeah. So let me ask this, and I don't know the answer, so it'll be interesting. What were you expecting the event to be like?
Obviously, I was expecting to kind of get some ideas on different financial planning topics and just kind of how to structure the business of charging. And, you know, really, I just kind of went in with open mind, wanted to see what other people were doing.
Okay. What did you come out of there with that you didn't show up with?
Whiteboarding skills, for one. I had never, none of our advisors have whiteboards, never thought of presenting in that way. That was a huge skill that I took away. And then the confidence to know, you know, that it's worth to charge a plan. When I left, I was really confident. And then when I got back, it was took a little more courage than I thought to actually implement.
You know, I was talking with an advisor just yesterday about this, and they really found that when they were super optimistic and then they left and they got home, and frankly, they just got scared. Mm-hmm. They were gung-ho, and then, you know, they went back to real life and went, you know what, I'm kind of scared. So when you left, what was your expectation of what you were going to do? What were your plans for yourself?
I had appointments scheduled for the second half of that week.
Okay.
And I was ready to go back and, you know, start that day. Ended up not charging for those because I kind of got scared to pull the trigger and make it happen.
Okay.
But that was my plan.
Okay. So let's talk about the helping part of this. I think advisors want to help people succeed because, you know, one, you care about them, and two, that's a much better referral, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to avoid them if you see them at the grocery store. You know, it's like, oh, I help that person. I'm going to say hi. So when you talk about, I didn't want to charge them, you and I had a conversation a little bit before we started recording about what does helping someone really look like? What was the story you were telling yourself about, I can't charge people money because I need to help them? Well, tell me more about that story that you were telling yourself.
Yeah, so I would go through the planning and I would do the whiteboarding and, you know, I was giving ideas and things like he'll teach. And then it kind of got down to, okay, we've gone through everything. And basically at that point, I just said, well, you know, I think I'll be more helpful to them if I just give them a list of recommendations. You know, oftentimes the client would, you know, I'd give them a piece of paper and a pen and just start saying, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. And just kind of gave them the rest of it because, to be honest, I was scared to charge. I was scared what they were going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Many times, you know, I wanted the assets and I was thinking about that in the back of my head. If I give them this, they'll give me the money. Right. And I thought I was helping them by telling them, here's this long list of things you needed to do.
So essentially you were going through in your own mind and maybe even on paper. You were giving them a plan. You were doing some planning for them. You were saying, hey, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, these are the things that you should be doing. There's three strategies in this account and this account. And some of those were things that you were going to do, and others were things that maybe they should do outside of, you know, a financial plan, or you following through and saying, hey, I know an estate attorney, you need to do this. And so I'm going to connect to you. And there's mm-hmm. a fee associated with that, but we're going to get it done for you. And instead, you just gave them a list of things to do. Talk about kind of what percentage of people actually ended up doing something with that list.
To my knowledge, nobody implemented everything on the list. I had one or two that maybe did a couple things, but basically most of the recommendations were not getting implemented.
Give me an example of the kind of stuff you would say, hey, you should do this. What were the things that they actually did and what were the things they didn't do?
You know, pretty much everybody I'd met with for at least a period of time, you know, had no estate plan. So, you know, I'd give them a name of a couple of attorneys in town and phone numbers and tell them, you know, here's the four documents you need from this person. I can think of five people I did that for and one person that I know, you know, contacted the attorney.
Right.
That's just one example.
Right. So you're recognizing, hey, this is not working for them.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not working for you because you're not getting paid for that. So when you made a switch, I'm just curious, at what point were you in a meeting and you're like, I'm going to actually charge a fee this time?
Yeah. I actually had lunch with a friend who's also a client, and I was kind of telling him what I was struggling with and telling him what I was doing. And he's like, man, you are not helping people by just giving them a list of things to do. He said, you know, with some people, you may be even hurting them because you're confusing them. You know, you're making them think they're way off track, and just giving people a list, you know, doesn't help them at all. So I actually had a meeting scheduled that afternoon. And so I made a decision at that lunch, you know, whether I get the assets or not, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to charge. And she said, yes, no hesitation.
Love it. In that moment, was there a little bit of, oh, dang it.
You know what I mean? there was a little bit of that. I started calculating, okay, if I did this 5, 6, 7, 8 times before, how much have I missed out on?
Yeah.
And then there was a little bit of, you know, oh no, what am I going to do now? I have to provide this.
Right. Well, because, you know, it's a different thing when you say, hey, you should go do this thing, and hey, I'm going to go do this thing.
Well, that's right.
We're going to go do this thing, right?
That's right.
It's sort of like saying, you know, you should plant a crop, you know?
Yeah.
And then like, hey, I'll meet you at the field and we're going to go work on this together. You know, it's a different relationship, right? It's a different level of accountability. So,
and then I kind of thought, well, maybe this is just a one-off. Maybe it's a fluke that this person said, yeah. So I had another meeting scheduled the next day, did the same thing. I upped it another $1,000, and he said, yes, no hesitation.
Let me ask this, because I'm always trying to think of the people who are listening, and they're thinking what they're thinking. One of them is, what are you charging? And then what are you promising to do for them?
So the first plan, I charged $3,000, because I remember you guys saying, you know, probably shouldn't be charging anything less than that.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't confident that she would say yes to that, much less anymore. So I went with $3,000. This person, you know, had no retirement plans. You know, they're just kind of sticking a little bit of money, you know, places, trying to save as they can, but really had no formal plan for anything. Hadn't looked at their insurance in a long time, just had a lot of deficiencies.
Okay. I want to believe that people are listening to this are, you know, they're believers and they're already charging advice. I know some of them aren't, though. What do you do internally to get over the, man, I wasn't charging for this last week and now I am?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of easy for me because I've realized, and I've agreed with, you know, my friend that was telling me I wasn't really helping them before. And now, you know, I know that not only am I going to create the recommendations, but I'm going to help them make sure they all get implemented. And yeah, so I know that this person will be better off afterwards.
Yeah. It is a fascinating element of our humanity that we are so much more motivated when there's a consequence or there is a cost, you know. The consequence, I guess, would be that you spent money and you got nothing in return. You know, that would be the consequence. You know, if I don't have to do it, but then I've wasted money, right? And then just the level of commitment and focus that people get when you attach a price tag to something. You know, it's what it reminds me of, frankly, is that, and I think I've heard it somewhere else, but that most people do not vacuum. Oh, I know what it is. How many people take their rental car to the car wash before they return it? Right.
Nobody.
It's that same idea of it's not mine. I'm not really truly invested in it. I'm just sort of borrowing it.
Right.
And I think there's some connection there to clients who don't take action because it's not their plan. It's a plan. It's a suggestion, but they don't own it. They didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
Right. So tell me about what it's like to work on those plans now. How are you doing when it comes to the implementation? Do you feel like you should have been charging more? Are you going to charge more in the future?
So we're still
about the service model matching the price.
Yeah, we're still pretty early in the process and gathering documents and things. So I'm feeling pretty good about it right now, although I can certainly see how, you know, if a couple things were a little bit different, this could take a lot more time and a higher fee could definitely be warranted.
Right. Right. So someone's listening and they think this sounds a little oversimplified. So you're telling me they're doing a lot of things they're doing before. And then the suggestions, they're not just suggestions. Now they're promises. Hey, we're going to do this together with this estate plan or whoever that might be. And then you're going to charge them money. What kind of phrasing do you use so that people can see the value of this and they see, oh, this is not just a to-do list. This is, I'm going to walk with you and we're going to get this done.
Yeah. So, you know, the whiteboarding and quantifying things ahead of time, you know, the few ideas we went over definitely showed them that they were going to get some kind of value out of it. And then what I also told them, so as soon as I gave them the cost of the plan, you know, one person said, okay, do I need to pay you now? And I said, no, you know, my plan was, you know, collect the fees after the plan's done. I said, I want to present the plan. I want to make sure you're happy with it and make sure that, you know, the findings, you know, the strategy we implement are going to, you know, more than 10x what you're right. investing into this plan before we actually, you know, get time to pay in the fee.
Okay. You know, as we work on a tool that creates financial planning proposals, that's a tool we're working on internally right now that'll be rolled out to members of our community and maybe the public if eventually. But one of the things that we focus on is sort of half now and half at plan delivery. And different people do it different ways, right? But really, the fundamental difference is that you're attaching a value to your advice. It's that simple.
Yeah.
You know? And I think about this. I think that, you know, I have paid money to drive to someone's office and sit on their couch and tell them about my life, right? And as other times, you know, if you and I live near each other, I'd be like, hey, Tyler, let's hang out. Okay, cool. And you're going to get your coffee and I might buy you a cup of coffee. But like there's different levels of engagement when there's an investment involved, right?
Yeah.
And there's just a difference between kind of talking. And then there's like, hey, I'm a professional advice giver. And I just think that a lot of advisors struggle with ascribing a cost or a quantified value to that. And that's why I think what you said is really important, Tyler. It's not hard to charge when you have quantified for yourself and for the client the value of your advice. And I think that outside of promising returns, because that's not what you do, the cost of inaction is really, I think, the easiest thing to quantify. If you did nothing, you'd have this. If you did something, you'd have this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the market will do what the market does, right? But that's the value, is I want to make sure you get this done. What other advice would you have? And I had you on because, you know, you're pretty fresh to this. And I think a lot of people think, well, I'm not qualified until, you know, this date or 5 years or 10 years or whatever. Obviously, you've been in the business, you know, you're not 6 months into the business, but you're 6 months into being a producer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean this in a rude way, but like, why do you feel like you're worth it?
You know, just my knowledge and being able to, you know, clearly the clients I'm meeting with aren't aware of this stuff. You know, they're not putting it into action.
Yeah.
So, my knowledge, you know, the few years of experience I do have doing this, you know, definitely helps support. And I do have, you know, my CFP designation. So those kind of things have helped for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that, and I appreciate you answering that question or that challenge, you know, because I think that's a question that people have to ask themselves. And it's one of the reasons that they don't charge, is they ask themselves, what value do I have? And the answer is a lot. You know, if you're the difference between people not taking action and taking action, then that's really valuable. It's really, really, really valuable. It's a 10X, it's a 50X difference between doing something and not doing something, right? So. Or doing the minimum versus really being wise about it. So someone is listening, they are new in the business, or they just want to start charging for their time and ideas. What's your advice to them?
Go to the training, 100%. I would have never started charging, never thought of it had I not been listening to the podcast and going to the training in Nashville.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a financial question. How long did it take for you to pay back the training?
Less than a month, because even before, you know, I just recently started implementing
the fee
for planning, but the whiteboard strategies that, you know, I learned, I implemented those right away.
Those got you business. They got you paid, right?
That's right. It helped me collect the assets, and it helped me demonstrate and illustrate things differently.
Okay.
That I know has more than 10 times paid for the class.
Right. Yeah. And frankly, you know, the event investment is going to be going up. We estimate most people are in for around 5,000 to 6,000 by the time they do travel and things like that. And that's why we teach people, hey, your minimum fee needs to be around $3,500. And mm-hmm. with that, you're likely to have a policy or in some assets and things like that. But this is not a thing where, you know, 6 months, 12 months down the line, it might work. You know, you're not planting an acorn and then praying, you know, maybe next spring I'll see something, you know.
Yeah.
We want this to be a quick turnaround. So I appreciate your story, and I appreciate that you've taken action. I also appreciate your honesty that you didn't go home and crush it. You went home and were scared. And I get that. It's hard to change habits and internal beliefs. But what we have found is that when people do turn the corner, they never go back. and never go back around the corner and go back to what they were doing before. So I'm glad you recognize it as quickly as you have. And I appreciate you sharing your story. I'm confident it's going to inspire people who are new to the business, but also people who are not new to the business and just recognize that, hey, if Tyler can do it, I can do it too. I mean, he's brave. I can be brave, and his time and ideas are worth it. And so are mine. So I appreciate your time, and I wish you nothing but success in the future. And thanks for being a great part of our community and our network.
Awesome. I appreciate you having me on.